The world is mine, nigga, get back. Don't fuck with my stack, the gauge is racked. About to drop the bomb, I'm the motherfucking Don. Big fish in a small pond. Now the feds trying to throw they book at the crook, but I shook. They worm and they hook. Guppies hold they breath. They wanna miss me when I'm tipsy. Running everything west of the Mississippi. It's the unseen pulling strings with my pinky ring. We got your woman pucker up, but we fuck her up. Bow down before I make a phone call. Got 25 niggas running up on y'all for the cheese. We want them keys. Everybody freeze on your knees, butt naked, please. Before any of you guppies get hurt, nigga, rewind my part, fool, and bow down when I come to your town.
Bow down
when I'm west with bands.
Bow down,
cause I ain't a hater like you. Bow down to a nigga that's greater than you.
All right, which one of us wants to yell first? Gloatingly. Like gloatingly. Oh. Which one of us wants to gloat audibly, loudly first? Who wants to do the honors?
I think I'm above that, so I'll let one of you.
Okay, Ski's above it. Okay. Must be nice. King, you want dibs?
No.
You fucking losers! Oh my god!
The losers!
Best weeks in the history of Oregon football.
Big ol' losers.
If you are not a fan, if you are a fan of Oregon, I said this on Twitter, and you don't think that was one of the most successful wins in the history of this program, reevaluate what you're in it for. 300 yards rushing.
300.
200 yards rushing by one guy.
200.
A win.
Travis
Guy. Offensive coordinator gets fired.
Fired.
Head coach gets suspended.
Suspended!
Oh my god, take a seat, Washington.
Pass,
and there
dub.
Are still Washington fans on Twitter who swear they're good.
Take a seat, Washington. Do, 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 do.
Bow down. Huskies, holy shit, go away.
What a loser school. Loser program. Jimmy Lake, go drown in Lake Union. What are you doing, you abusive loser on the sideline?
Oh, it was raining in Seattle. That's why there was no one there.
It's been raining losses in Seattle for as long as I've been alive. 1991, 30-some years ago. No one cares, Washington fans. You haven't won a bowl game that anyone cares about since Bill Clinton was in office. Losers. Losers. You're lucky there's not an L in Washington Huskies because it would just be for losers.
You have to be 40 years old to remember when Washington was good. To remember when Washington, like, successfully, regularly beat Oregon. You have to be over 40 years old.
AARP!
Like, how are their fans on Twitter still making the argument that they're better than Oregon?
Because Starbucks!
That they're good. Everybody.
Costco.
Costco.
Wingstrom's.
So Oregon played like absolute dog shit in the first quarter. Like the absolute worst they could possibly play.
You literally had that first quarter, Washington.
Gave Washington 9 points. Literally them 9 points. Here. Tackled in the end zone. Here, have the easiest interception you're ever going to fucking get. Set up inside the 5-yard line. 9 points. Here, you get a head start, Washington. Here, beat us. Speaking of nine,
I'm old enough to see an Oregon win streak over Washington that was 9+3. Eat it, dogs. Eat it. Losers.
Might have been a stretch. But they totally controlled the football game. The rest of the way. Honestly, even when that was happening, like the negative plays that gave Washington points, it was like it was an interception, and then the defense gave up like 5 yards for the touchdown. The 2 points was on a safety where it was like the most perfect punt in the world. The offense didn't gain a yard. That's the one negative rush they had the entire fucking game. And it gave them points.
Out of the end zone, too.
Oh,
there was
Washington, you are a fucking embarrassment. You are embarrassment.
Bob Bender and Lorenzo Romar watched that Washington football game and went, Washington, you're losers.
Cannot even imagine being a fan of that team and
just
still
the worst.
And just not having the awareness to know what your team is at this point. Like people who are listening, you've heard us this year. Like, we fully acknowledge Oregon's weaknesses. Like, we'll be realistic about it. We'll say, okay, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think this guy can do this. We've seen what Brown is capable of. We're fully honest about it. Washington still thinks they're good. They still talk about how Dylan Morris is a good. He is fucking terrible.
Dylan Morris won the North last year. He had one, baby. Go Dogs.
He has never been good.
No road games.
I'm like losing my voice here. Like,
Dylan Morris.
What a fucking failure of a team. And Jimmy Lake, what happened to Jimmy Lake is it was like one of those, like the Peanuts cartoons where like they do the really big, slow smile or whatever. Or no, it was like the Grinch did it. Remember when he like did the big smile at the end and it was like, yeah, it was like that. When I saw the Jimmy Lake news, Jimmy Lake suspended for one game for striking a player on the sideline. Like, that's the best.
What
that's
a
the worst
perfect
because
ending. What a
he might just get fired, which is what
no,
we don't want.
No, that's what we were thinking for like 2 days. Because remember there was the announcement that, you know, Washington's going to have a big announcement. You know, Jimmy Lake's time might be shorter than we think, blah, blah, blah. And then they come out and announce that they fired the offensive coordinator. And you're like, that gets him one more year at least. And then he gets suspended instead of fired, because that would have been the perfect opportunity to fire him and then hire shitty offensive coordinator to be their head coach. Perfect opportunity for that, but they didn't. So Jimmy Lake, apparently Jimmy Lake and the AD are really tight or something like that. I don't know.
Or do you think this was that they actually talked about firing Lake, but the names that were brought up were just so unrealistic that they said we just have to keep them?
I don't know that there was enough time like to come up with.
I guess it is only like a week.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. So someone good. Some Husky on Twitter said he had like some in that he knows of a coach that's like waiting to be hired once Lake gets fired.
Yeah. I probably saw that same person. Yeah. Urban Meyer was going to be the coach and Bob Stoops, the OC. Yeah.
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 that's like more delusional than the USC fan thinking Mike Tomlin's still going to be their coach, too. It's like, no. He's going to leave this like the one of the most high profile NFL jobs in the history of Earth where he's been for a really, really long time. Yeah, he's going to leave there to go to college and have to recruit kids. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Okay. Oh, so good.
Tomlin, did he ever have any experience in the college ranks?
No.
It seems like he was an NFL coach. Guy instantly. And then, yeah.
NFL coach. Hired by the fucking Roonies. He's not going anywhere, dude. And he's good. And he's never been bad. Like,
there's been what, two Steeler coaches like in our lifetime?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Like three in the last like 60 years or something, just ridiculous.
So Oregon beats Washington in the driving pouring rain. Travis Dye. 28 carries, 211 yards, a touchdown, 329 yards rushing as a team. I looked up the numbers for Travis Dye, by the way. So since the Stanford game, like Verdell got hurt at the end of the Stanford game. Since that game, Travis Dye, 74 carries. This is four games, 438 yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. 18 catches, 197 yards, 1 receiving touchdown, 9 touchdowns in 4 games.
Not bad.
Serviceable.
Over 600 yards of total offense. Not bad. There have been people talking about him being like a dark horse Heisman runner. No. Not going to happen.
No,
but he may
Pac-12,
end up
Pac-12 player of the year, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could it be a Doak Walker finalist, maybe?
No, sure. I don't think
no.
so.
Is it too late for that? because I don't think he was named a semifinalist.
Yeah, I think it's too late.
can they like
shoot? They can jump him, right? They can shoot him in.
Oh goodness! And
I'll say that all that stats you just brought up with Dye made those first couple possessions that more frustrating. Because we said it last week, it pretty much exactly what happened. We said they should come out and just run the ball only.
Yeah.
And what do? They come out slinging the ball.
Air raid.
Moorhead insisting on throwing the ball that is just soaking wet with a clearly shook Anthony Brown. Like, he looked the part of shook. And like, to his credit, after the game, he mentioned that Washington threw things at him that he wasn't expecting. And so already a good pass defense, and they mixed it up to the point where it was something that Oregon hadn't seen yet and hadn't prepared for. And so he was throwing arm punts. Absolutely.
Hashtag never pass.
Hashtag never pass. 100%. So he started.
That should have been a 500-yard rushing game for Dye.
Yeah.
He should have had 45 carries.
Well, like, the first drive when they came out, we're like, hey, we're going to be wacky and pass it with a bad quarterback against an elite secondary. You know, their number one ranking is kind of fraudulent, because why would anyone pass when you could just run on them?
Yeah.
But they're still a top 10 pass defense, no questions asked. Probably top.
Yep.
I was like, okay, the first possession, okay. Second possession, by the third possession, I was like, just run the ball.
It's 6 yards every carry.
You had a pick. You had 3 or 4 ugly incompletions. Just run the ball. And on Anthony Brown's pick, am I remembering it wrong? Or did that look just like his pick against Stanford? Where
identical.
He threw it to the bottom side of the screen, and there was just like some like random linebacker standing there with no one really close.
He just didn't see him. Yeah, it was like a couple of slant patterns, and he did not see the linebacker at all and threw it right to him. So Brown started the game 3 of 11. Finished up after that 7 of 9, ended up like 10 of 20 for the game, 98 yards. Did throw that touchdown to Williams. When he threw that touchdown to Williams, my immediate thought was the game is over. It was in the second quarter. I was like, there is no way Washington is scoring again.
Without a calamity.
Without what?
A calamity.
Yeah, without giving them points again.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, okay, the offense has figured it out to where they're not going to hand the ball over to Washington. And so I'm like, that's it. Like, Washington's offense is not doing anything the rest of the game. And sure enough, they didn't.
I will say I've never been more like secure in my feelings about a win in a 10-9 game at halftime than I was.
Couldn't agree more.
I was like, it's not going to be pretty. But
you know, it is funny, and you guys can attest to this, like me calling the other Washington touchdown, because like we were texting each other during the game, and I'm like, it's math, you guys.
They can't cover.
they have to score a touchdown offensively. Like, it's percentages. Like, football is a numbers game, and they will score a touchdown. And sure enough, it was like that drive where that was the only drive the whole game they were able to do anything against Oregon. And sure enough, they scored that touchdown. It's like Super Troopers. It's like, that little guy, don't worry about that little guy.
Don't worry about
it. Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think UW had 7 first downs the entire game.
166 total.
One of them technically came on the touchdown, because that's just like a weird like college football thing. And then 4 of them came on that touchdown drive.
One drive.
And then in between, they had 2 real first downs.
The like, sheer that's amount just of punts.
So bad.
So bad. And there's no denying that their offensive coordinator should have lost his job. Like, he is bad at being an offensive coordinator. And it wasn't just against Oregon. It was all season long. Like, that's why they can't do anything, because their offense sucks.
I mean, the problem is that Morris looks like the early Anthony Brown all the time.
Yeah, like the early game Anthony Brown is Dylan Morris all the time.
Give me a sec.
Okay.
Yeah. which is the one thing I don't get. All right, so you're Joe Moorhead and Mario Cristobal, right? You know how Anthony Brown has started games.
Yeah.
Why do you not establish the run early to help your quarterback out? I mean, are they trying just to like get him going, I guess, right away?
But I would imagine their perspective is he's coming off the best game of his career. So against Colorado, where you ride it. You ride the hot hand until he shows you he's not hot anymore. And that took like two passes.
But that's the thing. We know he is shaky at times. Very shaky.
Yeah.
And we knew going in, Washington's rush defense is that bad.
Their pass defense is good. Yeah.
Help your quarterback out and establish the run early to let him make some early completions. That's really what pissed me off the most about that game.
And now I didn't look at it that closely, but I'm curious if Washington was like loading the box or something like that, and it was something Moorhead saw where it's like, okay, if they're gonna, you know, put nine guys in here, we're gonna try to beat them through the air. Like my thing,
well,
they
beat them with screens or something early,
sure,
at least.
Sure. And you know it's raining profusely. Like
exactly.
Maybe Moorhead doesn't because he's in the box now. But everybody could see it. It's sideways rain, and throwing the football in sideways rain is not ideal. Not going to the run early was pretty silly. Like to Brown's credit, I mentioned it. He finished 7 of 9 after that slow start. Made that huge completion to Johnny Johnson on third down. You'll take it. In a game like that, you'll take it.
So you're. We started murdering them on the run, and then you're saying the passing game opened up after that? Is that what you're trying to say here? Yeah,
right.
To go 7 of 9.
Weird how that works. Weird how that works when you're running the ball up their ass every single play. Yeah. The punt through the end zone.
Beautiful.
It's like pornography. It was pornography.
Yeah, I came.
No shame?
No.
I was wearing gray sweatpants. And I was like, oh, that's a bulge. Oh, no. Damn it.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's going down the leg. Yeah.
Now, see, I was edging all game until that final drive where they should have scored there with like 5 seconds left. That would have been the explosion finish right there.
The best part about that is that Moorhead admitted in the press conference this week that they were trying to score. And that Forsythe just was getting his keys ready, and then he was about to snap it, but he didn't do it in time. Oh my God. Imagine what happens this week if Oregon like punches in a meaningless touchdown at the end of the game.
Well, I think we were robbed, because after the game, there was, I'm sure you guys all saw it, kind of that, you know, kind of a worthless little tussle of words,
dust up.
Yep.
If Oregon scored to go up 16 with 1 second left, that is a fight in the end zone.
Yeah.
That is the U part 3. Like, that is, we are going to get ridiculous race columns and all that stuff. I'm so upset we didn't get it.
We were robbed.
We missed it.
So mad.
We were robbed.
Because Oregon was going to score, and whoever scored, probably die. I forget who was in. Do something egregious.
Oh, especially if it was die. Oh.
And it would have been a fight, and I'm so mad. Yeah. I'm so mad.
All right, now, so that score, was that Mario trying to stick it to UW, or was that trying to make it so the game didn't seem as close for the pollsters?
First one. The first one, without question, because we all saw the Instagram videos after the game.
Hey, motherfuckers.
Oh, you can't self-proclaim shit.
Those guys do football the wrong way.
Oh, Jesus. That was one.
When you beat their ass, let them know.
Somebody said it on Twitter to me, like, Mario understood the assignment.
He did.
He did. Gets it. He gets it. And he clearly wasn't going to say it leading up to the game, because he's not stupid like Jimmy Lake is. He's not going to give them ammunition when they're the clear underdog. But he clearly hates UW just as much as the rest of us, but not for the same reasons as the rest of us. He hates him because of the bullshit they've pulled personally against him and the open shit that they've talked about against his kids. And you know, he let them do those like Instagram live videos on purpose too, because I have seen in the past, like we've seen this in the past where they're doing those IG live videos after a win. And then he's like, all right, phones off. Everybody turn your phones off. He essentially, those videos started right before he was giving his speech. So it's almost like he told them all right, time to set up your phones, put your phones on, point them at me. Let's go. But don't make it look obvious, though. Oh, my God.
So good.
Message. Woo! Satisfying win. That's like the most satisfying, somewhat close win.
Like some of the stuff he was saying, I don't even know if you can like fact check it, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Where he was like, you want to know what they did 30 seconds after they canceled the game? What they do? They posted that shit. You just can't claim it. You North, can't.
They posted they were North champions. You can't self-proclaim your way to shit.
And I was like, I don't know if they did, but I love it. Yep. 30 seconds. Fuck them.
Didn't they post that? Like North Division champions?
They did. But I'm just saying, I don't know if it was. It doesn't matter. You know, Paul Bunyan has a big axe and an ox. That shit doesn't matter. But it was just funny.
So satisfying.
Is he the first coach at Oregon that's really like delved into the rivalry shit?
No. Chip like downplayed it like a little crazy. Bit. But you know, like behind
it was different times. So
behind closed doors, Chip would like I have seen stuff about Chip. He would actually acknowledge it with players a little bit, but he never anything like what Mario's doing.
And yes, fair enough. There wasn't exactly, you know, the cell phone and IG Live and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I thought Chip was doing it more on the field, though. What's the thing?
Imagine Mike Bellotti on Instagram Live. You can't self-proclaim your way to shit.
Hey, guys, I just want to say.
You might have the only Mike Bellotti impersonation. Never heard one.
I honestly can't tell you what he sounds like.
Right? It's been a while listening to him.
It's been a while.
Yep.
I can't get the voice right, but I know his hand movements.
The cadence.
I know the cadence and the hand. But yeah, his voice is so nondescript that. There's really,
All right. Other takeaways from the actual game. Bassa.
Love that dude.
Love him.
Okay. So he's clearly an undersized linebacker.
Yeah. Moved from safety.
He's safety, right?
Yeah. Do we want him to go back to safety next year?
I don't know, dude.
Because
if we have linebackers, we do.
Because he could be that new Taylor Mays. A good Taylor Mays, where he actually makes plays, but blows people up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, hurt him? Would that hurt him moving him to a different position now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, would he be as successful as a safety?
Well, if you think about, if you look towards like the next level, he's not going to be a linebacker in the NFL.
No.
He could still get bigger. He's a freshman.
It doesn't look like he's going to fill out to be NFL linebacker. But he's definitely the right size to be an NFL safety. That's for sure.
Okay.
I mean, this isn't Urlacher playing safety and moving the linebacker. Sure. He's just a smaller guy, smaller frame.
Either way, he makes plays.
But he's a missile, though. He's a missile.
His plays.
Yeah. I think it was a Korn video where they went bop-a-dee, bop-a-dee-da, and there's just a bullet flying through every single. That's what Jeffrey Bassa is. He's
so it's his nickname be Freak on a Leash then?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Wow. All
right. Nice Nailed recall. A 1997 Korn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought mine was a little too in depth, but Ski just really showed me up.
He is Jeffrey Bassa is younger than Korn.
Yes. So
he's not gonna get that reference.
No, he's not.
Six tackles, one sack, 1.5 tackles for loss, pass deflection. Fourth down stop was obviously the big play. Love him. I'm a fan. He's been killing it since he moved over out of necessity. You gotta love that stuff, by the way. Like those are some of the best like stories in sports, period. When a guy is like forced into something, but he ends up like flourishing, like Bassett is.
Well, it's nice when, I mean, you can see how raw he is as a player. You're not going to get like great schematic linebacker play out of him, but if you say, "Hey, go stop the run," or run just the ball. Go blitz, dude. Yeah, he is that good of an athlete, at least to do that flat out.
1,000%. Also,
on the defense, I did see a big talking point from the UW faithful was that apparently they shut Thibodeau down.
Oh, shut him down.
Apparently. Shut him down.
Shut him down.
No, specifically the tackle. The tackle blocked him one on
Jackson Kirkland. Yeah. One, shut him down.
One on one all game and just shut him down, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I remember on like Monday, I think it was James Krepia put up something where they were like, well, he was blocked in 12 personnel 22 times and blocked in 13 personnel 11 times. So maybe it wasn't one so much.
Somebody he posted a picture of
the entire game.
Posted a picture of him getting triple teamed.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it was 538 today came out with an article, not only calling him the best defender in college football, but just a little blurb about the Washington game, just saying that like, hey, dummies, sacks aren't the only thing you need to look for.
Yeah.
He shoved their ass up. I think he just shoved it up.
He was kind of like how they had to defend like Nick Fairley when he was in college. You had to just throw bodies at him, and that cleared up other people to make the plays.
Right, because
like Bassa, for instance,
like Bassa, exactly, and Sewell, you know.
And I know we sound like homers, like his stat line wasn't great, but he still dominated. You can go to James Krepia's, you know, Twitter account or Facebook. I'm sure he has that. He put up like three or four clips where he just blew up run plays.
Yeah.
Like he just drove the guy back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just okay. And if he's getting dominated, you want to know what UW should have done? Run to him. But you want to know what UW did not want to do? Run at him. Like,
it's the life of a defensive lineman when you're dominant. You draw all the blocks.
All the blocks.
Yep. But by the way, like the Krepia, like 12 personnel, blah, blah, blah stuff. If you've ever watched a press conference, it is the worst thing to listen to ever, but I do appreciate it because he's the only guy who pays attention to that stuff and knows anything about it. And so I do appreciate that knowledge at the very least. Also, Thibodeau in coverage on the Morris interception as well, where he was, if it's a good throw, which Morris seems to not be able to do, it's intercepted by Thibodeau instead of Happel. Yeah.
The club man.
Yeah. Your boy club. Happel. Favorite defensive player. Yeah.
Yeah. Take that cast off. And there's a fun fact. Snapple. Happel. Get it.
Jesus.
Yeah. Really shout out to 98.
Yeah. Right. I'm talking 1998.
We're keeping this episode fresh, up to date.
Only the most up-to-date references for everybody.
Shout it out to the Snapple lady.
Also worth mentioning, Cam Lewis, 46-yard field goal in that same sideways rain. So Cam Lewis, still perfect on field goals this year. No matter what's happening.
It's like he's one of three or four kickers in the country that has yet to miss a field goal.
Yeah, the only one in the Pac-12. Yeah.
Albeit he's taken only 9, but still hasn't missed.
He's still Cam Lewis. So I'll take it. And of course, going into the Washington State game, he's probably seeing as like the 2019 Washington State game is the one where he made his one good kick before this year. He's probably going to miss like 3 field goals this week.
Stop. Yeah.
Like,
please.
Probably,
stop.
Right? Just
please stop. Yeah.
Okay. Don't you put that on me.
We need Thomas Graham to say a prayer in his ear again.
Oh, I know. Somebody should reach out to him on Twitter.
I still don't trust Cam Lewis.
No.
No,
ever. I just don't.
He could make every kick through the rest of his Oregon, you know, tenure here. And if he goes to the NFL, it's still going to be the same thing. You will just never trust him.
Yeah.
Well, do you trust any field goal kicker?
I don't know. I put a sat. I'll saddle up with the cattle man.
Oh God, that's so fucked up. That's so fucked up. Lewis beats him out for the job. It's perfect this year. You'd still take cattle.
Lasso that guy up. Let's go.
What about like NFL kickers? Do you even trust NFL kickers?
Justin Tucker missed one today.
I'm saying, even NFL kickers.
Do you see him like the Beaver kicker, you know, nailed a 60-yarder to send into OT?
Amazing.
Do you trust his leg? Do you trust Camden Lewis's leg, though, for – he's not kicking a 60-yarder.
No, that was an altitude, though.
Who is? Yeah.
That was an altitude. I trust Vinny Castilla. Vinny Castilla popping a ball up, and it goes 400 feet.
I could see him hitting a 50-yarder. Absolutely. The one from 46 was good from 50. I don't know. I guess I'll believe it when I see it. Hopefully we don't have to see it. Hopefully Oregon's scoring touchdowns.
That's the thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we haven't talked about with this game yet.
Special team's a little shaky.
Oh, they were awful. Weren't even shaky. Yeah. They were awful. They lost the field position battle every single time. Though I will say, people were pretty upset about that first UW punt that ended up at the one. Then they got safety because they had no one back. Yeah. I get it, but I'm like, it's early enough in the game. Jimmy Lake might go out of his norm and fake it. So I don't know. He could throw someone back there, but they were definitely going to punt safe.
Yeah, you got to make a college punter beat you when sticking it on the one. So,
and he did.
Yeah, and I'm not super upset, but it's like,
yeah. I mean, it's iffy.
It's iffy, but
I understand the decision.
I wasn't mad at it.
It was a clear go for it situation, and so don't even mess around. Obviously, the results weren't great on that, but.
And as we found out later in the game, Jimmy Lake was never going for anything.
Ooh. Oh, that was so good. That should get him fired.
I was gonna say, is that one of the worst you've seen of a coach being scared right there? Because, I mean, the way the Oregon was running the ball, there was almost 0% chance they were getting the ball back there. It was only 4th and 10. It wasn't like, you know, 4th and 40 or something like that.
And because that game was on ABC at 4:30, right? Which is usually like the prime time game. You got Chris and Kirk and all that. But they went to, you know, Ohio State, whatever, Penn State. Who the fuck cares? And so you had RG3 and like Quint Kessenich, who are kind of bland. But even RG3 got in that whole like, well, I guess Jimmy Lake knows something no one else does. Here's the punt. But like, I feel like if this was 10 years ago and Brent Musburger was calling it, he would kill it on a betting angle type of a deal. Like, if you had the under or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys were, you know, RG3 called it out, but he was still a little soft.
RG3, a little bit problematic.
He did have a couple of weird...
A little problematic.
Thing about the people sharing the coats. Sharing the coats.
Having your teammate over there helping
you out. That was a little weird.
I'm like, RG3. Oh,
they must be secure.
RG3.
It's raining, dude.
RG3, brand new to announcing games and not polished whatsoever.
Which is fine.
That comment is problematic, man.
Yes, he had a couple really that were just a little weird, but
yeah. I saw a lot of people liked him.
Yeah.
I was sort of on the other side. I was like,
I will say I was surprised at how many people had effusive praise for him.
Yeah, I kind of was too. I was like, really?
The one thing I will give him credit for, and just the booth in general, is that since the Pac-12 refs had to review every single first down spot. They just had to bullshit a bunch, and they were just talking about
They're filling.
The most random stuff, you know. So
that was pretty embarrassing. Especially the one in the first half where they reviewed and then determined that they couldn't review.
Couldn't review after like 3 minutes too.
Amazing.
Not like, oh, we cannot review that. It's like, oh, let's go review it and be like, oh, our bad, I guess. We actually can't do that.
Yeah. I was sitting on the couch being like,
it's like, Oregon just ran a play.
It's like, I mean, what? Like I've had like a Busch Light and a bourbon. But like they can't review a play after a play has been run, right? And then I was like, well, I guess I'm wrong because they are.
No, when in doubt, do not give the Pac-12 refs benefit of the doubt. Like you might be smarter than they are. You might know the rules better, as a matter of fact. And the weird thing is the next play was the Brown interception.
Yeah.
After that. So if they had reviewed it and, you know, called it an incomplete pass, that play might not have happened. So.
Well, that was the most bullshit thing is we couldn't even get off snarky tweets because right away
the interception Brown
throws it to no one except for a UW linebacker.
Jeez, just and the amount of just clearly obvious plays that they were reviewing too was just so baffling. Like in that case, is that so they have a booth who calls down to them and tells them to review that, right? In those cases. So it's on the booth then. Cause the booth is sending down the messages to them. Hey, you need to review this play. And so it's on them.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So in some regards, the refs are left to kind of be the public face of shame, but
yeah,
the Pac-12 figure it out. Figure it out.
Figure it out.
That's got to be the booth guys just having no faith in the guys out on the field.
Which can you blame them?
No, you cannot. But it went over the line in that game. That was one of the worst I've seen. It seemed like every fourth play, let's stop it, review it. That's a clear first down or whatever they're reviewing.
All right, let's wrap up this game. You sure you don't want to dunk on them, Ski, real quick? No?
I don't like to kick them when they're that down.
No, kick that dog.
That's the best time.
Kick it.
Yes.
Kick it. You're like you're like someone in Aladdin kicking a flea bag. Do it.
I, for one, love beating dead horses. Big fan. Big. Anytime I see a dead horse alongside of the road, I just pull over and kick it.
When I play horseshoes, I wish it was a dead, real dead horse's hoof. Love it.
No, it wasn't that long ago. They had the 0-for season. I think I'm going to be a little nice and not just digging at them. So
at Jonathan Adams on Twitter, if you want to be
West
reminded
Coast,
of all of that.
What a West Coast lib over here. Jeez.
Hey, when you're the pride of the Pac-12, you got to show a little class every now and then.
Fair enough.
All right. We're going to follow your lead and be classy, I guess.
The class cast.
Yeah, I don't much care for
and
it.
And as but... I said,
all right. Okay. So shall we talk hoops? Did you guys watch? So the Duck men and women opened on the same day in the same building this week. Did you pay attention to any of it?
I went to the game.
Oh, nice. Like both of them or just the men's?
No, just the men's.
Interesting.
I have tickets to the men's game.
Toxicity over here.
Interesting.
Jeez. Yeah.
Hey, hanging out with RG3 a lot?
Yeah, man.
See?
All day.
You loved RG3's broadcast.
So your thoughts on Ruth Bader Ginsburg over here. Jeez.
So what did you think of the men's team? Or shall we bother... Is this gonna be another one of those years where you don't actually learn the players' names until halfway through? And
no, give Ski a good 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I watched highlights of it. So.
Yeah. So, Joe Young's brother, Jacob Young.
Jacob Young. Yes.
The dude could score. That dude could score. His brother.
He's a lefty too.
He's lefty also,
which is great.
So
obviously,
fun note, the five guys they started in that game. Four of them are lefties.
So needless to say,
they should be shooters.
They shoot a lot of threes, and they make a lot of threes. Yep.
Well, they opened the game making a lot of threes. They went like 1 for 13. And the game got a little closer. So it's going to be – could be one of those with Dante out, because Big Frank, you know, he still looks pretty green out there.
He's so raw.
He still doesn't he still does not fully know what's going on, but he's getting there. And the two white tall sticks,
Biddle.
They looked Biddle and Johnson.
Yeah.
They both just looked lost. I think they both had 3 fouls in 5 minutes each. So
I know you're probably thinking this too right now, Kang. I think we're going to the same place here. Like, it's going to be really hard to not call him Biddle, like, all year.
Really hard. Biddle's like a top 15 recruit in the nation.
He's the highest ever Duck recruit.
But if you had told me he was a walk-on from Croatia, I would also believe you.
Was it the guy from Cal that like transferred out last year or the year before? They had like a 7-footer from Europe. Could be him. Could have been him.
If you told me he's Ian Crosswhite, I'd probably believe him.
He's got random white Gonzaga big man written all over him.
Yes, except their random white big man is Chet Holmgren, the number one overall recruit, who actually looks like a basketball player.
Yeah, there is that.
Which is just weird, the gulf between like 1 and 14 or whatever Biddle was, but both 5 stars. It's just, it's insane.
Will Richardson leading the way?
Yeah, second half went off, which they're going to need, because that Devin Harmon, that dude looks like he's going to love to chuck.
Oh, yeah.
That dude's going to be jacking shots this year. Gary A looks like the perfect like fit guy for a Dana Altman team. Like
the rebound 6'7"
rebound guy, exactly. That's the guy Dana loves, is this kind of undersized rebounder. Same with that, Rivaldo Soares?
Yeah, Rivaldo
Soares. He looks like he could jump real high. Looks like he might be dunking a lot. Getting rebounds, so
I just want him to be good so we can just say Rivaldo.
Hear Don Essex say Rivaldo a lot.
Yeah.
Rivaldo
Soares from Nathan Biddle.
Exactly. I would hope they're gonna have a bunch of rebounders on this team, because if they're gonna be chucking like we think they will.
Don't know what they plan on. Obviously it's gonna be bigger when Dante comes back, but Gary A was like the tallest guy, like 6'7" of the starting five. So if they're gonna play small ball, yeah.
Well, I mean, then you do have Biddle and Big Frank coming off the bench too. So there Frank, is that. It's not that they don't have size, it's just that they don't have size as a starter per se, you know, a starter level size.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem to have a bunch of scorers, which
it
should be
looks
at least fun.
Like the prototypical Dana team here this year again.
Yep. Will Richardson, senior leadership, leading the way.
Yep.
Should be okay as long as they can stay healthy.
Yeah, was it? Soares was the number one junior college kid, then a bunch of savvy vets. That's just exactly how you build it.
Jacob Young, another transfer from Rutgers.
Yep.
Like for whatever reason, Dana has the Rutgers pipeline right now.
gotta get that pipeline, baby.
Yep. Okay. And the women won by like 80. So I guess they're
They're playing Idaho State. Who cares? Yeah.
So the one thing to talk about with them, I guess, is that Pau Pau's hurt. She might be out for like most of the preseason. And then Indaya Rogers hurt too. And she was like the big transfer from USC this year. And so they're going to be like dealing with a couple of injuries.
I think Graves is okay. Backed. I think Graves is doing okay still.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they're healthy by the Elite Eight, then the Oregon should be fine.
So, the Oregon program has been, the women's program has been pretty popular and very good for a while now, right? Today it really hit me that they're a thing. When I just saw some random person on Twitter that was retweeted onto my timeline be like, Kelly Graves is getting out-recruited by Oregon State? And it's like, he's got the number 7 recruiting or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But the guy just had this like whole rant about getting out recruited. I'm like, okay, all right. Women's basketball is officially here.
He's ranting
and getting engagement on it.
That's amazing.
When you get like 5 5 stars the year before,
right? You gotta kind of.
You only get like 1 the next year. You only have like 2 or 3 spots to fill. I think
also, Oregon State women's basketball is gonna get elite recruits.
They're good. Yeah, they're good.
Really good. They've also been good for a while. So
I feel like it's almost like the Duke fan being, North Carolina. What's up with Coach K? Why did Carolina get a 5-star?
All right, so basketball started. We're into it now.
You guys watching the Blazers? Started?
No, I haven't watched the Blazers. I've seen scores of the Blazers. I've seen that they're not good. Is that accurate?
They're good at home.
Sometimes.
I saw their splits today. If they played every game at home, they'd be the second best team in the league. But they don't.
No.
And on the road, they're the worst team in the league.
Rip City, baby. Well,
it doesn't help.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
It doesn't help when Dame's averaging like 19 points a game.
He's been kind of bad.
Struggle bus. Yeah. And he is getting real defensive about it on Twitter, too. I don't know if you've seen that.
There have been a lot of players struggling. The NBA did change basketballs, and some players are complaining about it. They don't like the feel of whatever the new ones. But I think this could be a long con of Dame sucking to get the fuck out of there.
Dive in. Let's hear it.
That's it right there. He's forcing a trade without coming out and looking.
We got to hear your theory on where he's looking to go to by how he's playing bad. Like, is he shooting like off his left foot or his right foot? Like, oh, he wants to go off his right foot. So he wants to go to the East Coast. That's on the right side of Oregon.
So he wants to go to the Nets, right?
I was trying to help him. How could I word this out?
Well, you saw the reception he got in Philly. So
yes,
there's your answer.
I guess he's not filling it up.
He makes most of his shots on the east facing basket. How about that?
Boom shot.
That west facing basket, nothing but bricks.
I mean, maybe the Yahoo site is wrong, but
yeah,
you know, from the free throw line, he's only a 76% shooter.
Oh God! All right, let's do lines. What are our lines?
By the way,
big shout out to Mike Buble for. Putting all of our numbers for the whole season together.
That was
fucking fantastic. Yeah. I might just pin that tweet to the handle if I remember.
I was going to say his organizational chart is way better than mine.
Real good.
Let's put it that way.
So yes. I appreciate that. It was great.
So we all had 4 points this last week.
Okay.
So no blood this week. And
What was my star pick last week?
You had Zona.
I sure did. Arizona getting off the schneid thanks to an entire team of COVID patients.
So overall, still Braga, you have 46. King has 44. I have 43. And let's see. All right. All right. First game. Goddamn, I don't want to see that shit. All right. First game, we got Utah at Arizona. 24.5 points for the Utes.
Wee. Ride that Wildcat train, baby. They're on a roll. Get that first W.
Get hot, stay hot, Zona.
Exactly, man. I got Arizona with the points. Yes, sir.
I'm going Utah because they want game day next weekend.
Makes sense.
I'm taking the Utes too. That's good reasoning. I'll go with that too.
Utah's looking past Arizona.
They want to run it up.
Utah's
cannot be serious.
Utah's looking nice. They're looking past Arizona, so they're only going to win by 24.
Yes. Omar. All right. Then we got Stanford at Oregon State. Oregon State, 12.5 points. Coming off a pretty bad loss.
How do you bet on Stanford at this point now?
That's the rub. It's a tough one.
It's so hard to bet on Oregon State too, though.
Yeah. Is Tanner McKee playing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'm going to go Beavs.
Yeah,
I'm going Beavs. Yeah, so am I.
I'm going to go with that, my star pick. Make it happen, Oregon State. Figure it out.
All right, next game we got Arizona State. They're a 6.5 point favorite against our favorite little Bow Wow Huskies.
ASU. They're going to run for 300 yards.
Little Bow Wow.
Yeah, I feel like that. All right, I'm going to ASU because they're going to run for 400 yards.
ASU is my star pick, by the way.
I go ASU because they're going to run for 500. no, but I am going Arizona State.
All right, and then we got Colorado at UCLA. Just there's like no ever any good games in the Pac-12. Pac-12 is brutal, honestly.
Well, I mean, the Cal USC game got canceled, so that was the best game there. Yeah.
All right. So UCLA 16.5 point favorite against Colorado.
I'll go the Bruins off a bye week.
I got Colorado. Like whatever Lewis figured out against Oregon, he has figured it out.
That is fair.
He has played really well against the Oregon schools. So I think they'll score some points finally.
And Chip Kelly used to coach at Oregon.
I'm taking Colorado as well.
Whoa! You guys going against my Bruins?
Yeah, tough buffs, baby. They looked okay now. So
yeah,
16.5 is kind of a lot for a team that looks okay. All right, and
you don't just walk into the Rose Bowl and win. I'm just saying. And cover. I meant cover.
Yeah.
There's going to be 39,000 passionate Southern Californian fans there.
By the way, back to the Washington-Arizona State game. I know I picked Arizona State, but I could easily see Washington winning by like 21.
No.
Just because Lake isn't there. And
are they going to play Heward?
And because they have a new offensive coordinator. Oh. Like what were their weaknesses? Their offense and their head coach.
I did look into their new like offensive coordinator. And I can't remember if he was at Western Kentucky or Eastern Kentucky. I think it was Western.
One of the directional Kentucky.
Because that was like a division. Well, what are the fuck it's called now? FBS.
Yeah.
And he was there for like 2 years and they were bottom like seven both years.
If you're coming from any school in Kentucky, it's not a great program.
If you were hired by Jimmy Lake, you're probably going to be bad. Yeah. All right.
All right. So with the Cal USC game, who knows when they're going to play it or whatever, our throw-in game, we're going with those pesky, just underappreciated Sooners. -5.5 at Baylor.
I want to pick Baylor so bad.
But they just lost to TCU.
This is the week, right? This is the week. We get Oklahoma out of our fucking ears for the rest of the year with this. I'm taking Oklahoma.
Me too.
I'll throw the curveball in. Sick 'em Bears. Sick 'em.
I really want to pick Baylor too, but that loss to TCU is not great.
That's a bad loss.
They just fired Gary Patterson, new coach for the first time in 20 years, and they lose to him.
Random quarterback who hadn't played all year.
Exactly.
Yeah, put up 35 points.
That's a bad loss.
All right, final game, Cougs, Ducks. Ducks, 14.5 point favorite.
I think Washington State with the points. I think Oregon wins it, but this, I don't know. There's something about Washington State. They're one of those schools.
They're pesky and annoying,
especially night games. I don't know. I don't trust it. I think Oregon probably wins by like a touchdown or 10, 14 and a half seems not a bit much.
I am taking Wazoo as my star pick.
Wow. You're picking them
for that reason. It's no, oh no, but they're scrappy and annoying, and this game is going to be close the whole way. Just how these games against them feel, especially in this situation right now where the Ducks must win and they should win. Yeah, it's going to be a close game.
Well, I'm going to buck the trend and pick Oregon. Mario never covers at home. Wazoo's a pest. Literally the only reason I'm picking them is because I feel like Wazoo's like new head coach bump is going to just kind of take a little dump, which as a bettor is probably not the smartest thing to do, but that's what I'm banking on is Oregon just runs for 267 and wins by like 16.
Okay.
You're assuming the Ducks are going to be able to score a bunch, because I feel like Washington's going to score some points, aren't they? I mean, this isn't the Huskies offense we're seeing out here.
I don't know. You're talking about the second ranked Pac-12 defense over here. Well, Tim DeRuiter's Ducks, baby. Read an article. Read something, bub, over DeRuiter's, the last five games.
DeRuiter's fighting Drakes.
DeRuiter's Drakes.
All right, let's get to our list.
But like, really, though, okay, Wazoo could just complete a million six-yard passes in the middle of the field.
And they will.
Yeah.
Of course they will.
So our list, seeing as Oregon is playing Washington State, they're playing at home this week. By the way, did you see the uniforms they dropped today? I like them. They're home unis, but they're mostly white. And so they have like the green tops, but everything else is white. And I think that's solid. I've always liked that. So they're playing at home, 7:30 kick, Washington State. Our list this week is three horrible places we would rather go than Pullman, Washington. Because Pullman, Washington is not a great place.
It's Idaho.
It's not a great place to go.
It's Idaho.
My ex-wife, when she first started going to college, the first school she chose was Washington State. She went there for like 2 days and then left. Because it was
too desolate.
Yeah, because Pullman was terrible.
You guys been to Pullman?
And as she was leaving,
I've been there once.
As she was leaving, there were people commenting on it, like, "Oh, there goes another one," as if this is a regular occurrence for kids who go to Washington State.
Yeah, someone's hitting I-74. They ain't never coming back.
Yeah. It's like, why would anybody go there? Joe Kim Noah. Okay, so shall I start? Who wants to start? I can start.
I guess I'll start.
Sure. Okay, go.
All right. My number three is the Gates of Hell in Turkmenistan.
Where is this?
In Turkmenistan.
Okay.
It's a gaseous crater that is on fire and has been on fire for a long time.
Oh yeah, what isn't there like a town in Nevada or something where there was like a coal mine caught on fire and it's just been burning under the earth?
Just been burning, yeah. It's the same thing. There's just a natural gas hole right there and it's just on. You can't put it out, so.
Yeah, you literally cannot put it out. Nope. It's going to burn forever. okay. Mine's sort of along those lines a little bit. It's called Ilha da Quimera. It's a snake island in Brazil. It is a literal island of snakes. Just snakes everywhere. So like the pit in Indiana Jones, but it's like that everywhere in this little place in Brazil. That's going to be
sounds
a no
cool
for
place.
Going to be a no for me. But I'd rather go there than Pullman. because Pullman's terrible.
My number three shitty place I'd rather go instead of Pullman is actual hell with our Bryles. That's just my hell. Number three, folks.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, we got two more. Oh boy. All right, what's your two, Ski?
All right, my number two is Gary, Indiana.
Okay, well, easy there.
Shots fired.
Because it's the crime rate on top of just the stolen Midwest, just run down. Used to be a good city before the steel industry got out of there. Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't say like Flint, Michigan or something. I was like, that's a low blow. If we're going places we actually know. Oh. Okay, my number two. Yeah, I'd rather go to Death Valley than Pullman. At least I could work on my tan or something, you know.
Go to an LSU game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Yeah, what? What did you think I meant?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Clemson game.
Yeah. Ugh, that'd be terrible this year.
My number two is War Torn to Crete.
To Crete? Where is to Crete? Where is it?
Iraq.
Oh, okay.
Look at this guy. He probably doesn't even know we won that war. Yeah. I think we won it twice.
The limited skirmish in the Middle East.
Hey, yeah. Fucking you want to know what's funny? Is their administrative center in Crete? It's called Saladin.
McCullough?
Saladin, yep. McCullough? All right.
Saladin McCullough.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
I'd much rather go to Saladin McCullough
than Bowman. What about Sultan?
Oh, all right.
I like him a little less, but it's okay.
All right. My number one place I'd rather go to in Pullman is Pyongyang, because North Korea sounds better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least there'd be some like discipline going on, you know?
They have a handle. At least if you get caught with a DUI, they chop your hands off or something, instead of let you be quarterback.
Handle on the vaccine situation.
Yeah, the head coach is getting the vaccine there.
Yeah, everything would be in order. Let's just say that. my number one is the cave where the Chilean miners got trapped. That's where I'd rather go. It's always nice to get away, you know, get away from the hustle and bustle. Much rather go there than Pullman. Rather be trapped in a cave for a while than go to Pullman.
Well, my number one hellscape I'd rather visit than Pullman, Washington is Seattle. I mean, heroin needles and piss and fecal matter on the sidewalks aside. You want to know what they got?
Nothing?
Washington Huskies football.
Yeah. You got the Kraken? They have Key Arena? I don't know.
God, I forgot the Kraken even exists.
Oh,
yeah.
You got the Mariners.
Oh, yeah, the Mariners. Seattle sucks.
I do. Yeah. Just as an aside, I love, like, during UW week, when Husky fans talk shit to Oregon fans, like, oh, you have homeless people and heroin addiction. Yeah, you guys invented that.
Yeah.
All your famous rock stars choked on their vomit or shot their heads off because they were on heroin. what are we doing here?
What are we even saying here?
What are we doing here?
Are you a large city in the United States of America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a populated center with an opioid problem? Weird.
You have homeless people laying around and feces on the sidewalks.
You're going to get talked down to by someone from Bismarck, North Dakota. What are we doing?
That shit ain't happening in Texas. I know that.
Yeah, just in Austin. Austin's weird, right? Am I right? Am I right?
I mean, am I right?
University town.
just got to go to LA.
Libs.
LA.
LA.
LA. I'm like, oh, I got to drive out of the 101 to get to LA.
Marina Del Rey.
In LA. All right. Let's do trivia. It's enough of that bullshit. So we did Washington State trivia last year. So I might have recycled a couple of questions from last year. We shall see. Who wants to start off this week?
I'll start.
King will start. Okay. So for those who are new, I am going to give a question. The first person gets a chance to answer it. If they miss it, then the second person gets a chance to answer the question with some multiple choice options. King, going to start us off with the alumni question, though he didn't graduate from Washington State. This actor went there for 1 year as an exchange student working on a chemical engineering degree, which is funny when you find out who he is. He was also a member of the Cougar Marching Band. Went on to star in The Expendables, Rocky IV, Universal Soldier, many others. Who is it? I know Ski knows this.
No idea.
Rocky IV, Universal Soldier, Expendables.
I don't even know what the hell Universal Soldiers is.
Good movie.
Do you need options?
No. It's Dolph.
It is Dolph Lundgren. Yes, it is. Yeah. Dolph Lundgren went to Washington State for a year as an exchange student and was in the marching band at Washington State. Yeah. All right, Ski.
I think he does have a doctorate in physics too.
He did not graduate from there. He like went there for a year.
No, but I think he has one in general. But.
No, I believe it. I believe it. I'm not going to call him a liar. Ski. What is the name of Washington State's mascot?
Get homophobic.
Get homophobic?
Yeah. Yep.
guys are trying to get me canceled here.
Yes, we are.
I mean, the name is controversial, for sure. For sure.
I don't know why I keep blanking all these fucking mascot names.
Oh, what kind of animal is it?
It's a cougar, so it's a...
Why are we helping him?
I don't know. I pass. Pass. Right.
Your options, King. Billy T. Cougar, Butch T. Cougar, or Bart T. Cougar?
Butch T. Cougar.
Butch T. Cougar.
Is the T for the...
It's gotta be, right?
Then why don't they just call it Butch?
Yeah, just Butch Cougar.
Just Butch.
I'm into it. All right, King. Who is the all-time leader in passing yards and passing touchdowns in Cougs history?
Connor Halliday.
Is not the correct answer.
Oh.
Your option, Ski. Alex Brink, Luke Falk, or Jason Gesser?
All right, it's there. I was thinking Gesser, so I'll go with Gesser.
The answer is Luke Falk.
Oh.
Sorry, boys.
Jesus.
Yep. Not Sheldon legend Alex Brink.
Nope.
All right, so Ski goes to you. Which quarterback set the all-time NCAA record for passing yards in a single game when the Cougs lost 60-59 to Cal in 2014?
Gesser.
Still holds the all-time single game passing yards record. It is not Gesser.
Not Gesser?
Nope.
Falk again.
Your options, King.
Connor Halliday.
It is Connor Halliday.
I knew I'd get one.
You keep guessing Halliday. I'll keep guessing Gesser, and then I'll get one eventually.
It's like 734 yards or something.
That's crazy.
Sheer insanity. All right, King. This former Washington State athlete became one of the biggest brands of the last decade, created a TV show, shoe brand, raked in millions of dollars marketing himself, despite never making it as a pro athlete. Who is it?
LeVar Ball.
That is the correct answer. It was hard to come up with other options for this. I'm glad we didn't go to that.
What were your other options?
Yeah. So I picked random like TV show people that you might think went to Washington State. I picked Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. and then one of the property hunter guys. Oh. All right. So this one goes to ski now. Everyone knows about the Apple Cup ski, but the Cougs have another rivalry game against a non-conference opponent called the Battle of the Palouse. Who is their opponent in the Battle of the Palouse?
Eastern Washington.
That is incorrect.
Is I know
Idaho it. Idaho State?
I know it. Because my grandpa was the quarterback there.
That's an unfair question.
And at one point
held
the all-time passing record with 227 yards. It's the University of Idaho Vandals.
It is absolutely Idaho. Unfair. I gave you.
You don't just walk into the Kibbe Dome.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
What are you the fucking judge of the Rittenhouse case here, Braga? Jesus. Just.
Ooh, topical. Nice work.
I know, right?
Yeah, we are dropping all the controversial bombs today. Washington State leads that series, as you might imagine, 72-16-3. They have only played twice since 2007, so it appears to not be something they're renewing.
Did your grandpa ever get a W in that series, King?
I doubt it. I really doubt it. Yeah.
Did he get one of the ties?
Yeah, he might have. I'll have to look at one of his yearbooks. Yeah. His very problematic yearbooks, I will say that.
All right, King. This wide receiver still holds the Pac-12 record for career receptions and is Washington State's all-time leader in yards and touchdown receptions as well. Who is it?
I don't know. I think I kind of know. I think he's a guy that may have called UCLA douchey a few years ago, but I can't remember his name.
Throw a guess out there. Any Washington State receiver?
No.
Is it weird that a team that has thrown the ball so much in like the last 20 years that don't really know their receivers mm-hmm. all that well?
If it's River Craycat, if it's River Craycraft,
River Craycraft,
I'm leaving. I'm not.
Yeah. It is not ski. Your options: River Craycraft, Marcus Wilson, or Gabe Marks.
Gabe Marks seems like it.
It is Gabe Marks.
That's the guy I was thinking about. He called UCLA douchey. Yeah.
He is still 22 ahead of Nelson Spruce, who went to Colorado. Mm-hmm. All-time Pac-12 catch leaders. All right. Ski. Washington State's official colors are crimson and gray. There are apparently 30 other schools that feature the color crimson officially. Name two.
Two?
One of them should be obvious. That's why I'm making you do two.
Harvard?
Harvard is one. You're gonna fucking
oh man, I got the other one right. No, it can't be them. No, yeah, no. What else is that? Louisville?
Nope. That is incorrect. King.
I think I got it. I think I can go.
For the win.
Oklahoma?
And yep.
Alabama.
How do you not get Alabama?
I didn't make my way in the SEC when I was going through my conference.
The Crimson Tide! Share and Clueless rode the Crimson Wave!
I'm proud of you for getting Harvard, though. But man, you got to dip down to the SEC, bro.
SEC!
By the way,
SEC, baby.
Utah also, crimson is one of their official colors. I got Kansas is apparently.
They do not work from Kansas. Get out of here.
That's what it says. That's red. I agree with
that
you.
That is red.
I agree with you. That is red. Indiana, New Mexico State, St. Joe's is crimson, and Mississippi, apparently. That also looks red. I'm not sure I buy that.
What's Oklahoma's secondary official color? They are crimson and...
I would say white.
I would say too.
Well, of course you guys would. But it's, pure, those, it's cream.
Those
okay?
pure white uniforms.
Yes.
Down in Oklahoma.
So I remember when they played Alabama in an Sugar Bowl a few years ago, there was a big fight over crimson and white versus crimson and cream.
The dorkiest shit ever. Yes. All right, I got a couple bonuses here. Which coach has the worst winning percentage in Washington State history with 18%?
Paul Wolf.
That is the correct answer. 9-40. Yikes.
Not great.
And there have been 14 Cougs picked in the first round of the NFL draft. Who is their only number one overall pick?
Drew Bledsoe?
Yep. Man. All the points.
I love my Cougs.
All the points. Yeah, you're Cougs. Win the day for Crimson and Gray.
Yes.
Okay. Win or something? That's how we're going to end the podcast, right? Win or something. How about that? Just don't lose.
Don't lose.
Don't embarrass the fan base, Oregon. How about that?
Losers.
We got to save that loss for Utah, so got to win this.
Oh, get out of here.
Save that loss for the Civil War.
No, it's not called the Civil War anymore, you racist.
Nope.
That's highly problematic.
Problematic.
It's just the rivalry. The Dairy Mart battle.